COVID-19 pandemic has had serious impacts for all manner of sectors. Our focus today is the tertiary education sector. During the pandemic, universities had to suddenly go to wholesale e-learning, while for poorer students, this will have created a lot of complications as many won't have had the basic tools to learn off university site, with issues around basic nutrition also becoming a bigger problem. And because universities reside within economies, at a broader level, questions now arise about how will they be funded, whether private sector contributions for the work of universities will be forthcoming, given the financial impacts and so many more issues. Well, someone who's been pondering the future of universities is Professor Tawana Kupe. He's the Vice Chancellor at the University of Pretoria. Thanks very much, Professor Kupe, for joining us. So it's been a tough time for the education sector right across the board. But perhaps in reflection on the last 6 months, you can paint a picture in terms of the impacts that have been felt in the tertiary space and where you have specific examples at the University of Pretoria itself.
Yes, yeah, obviously, I think the lockdown had a huge impact on our ability to provide a direct face-to-face or what is called contact learning, and also our ability for our staff to do some forms of research, fieldwork, for example, or research you need to do in the laboratory with the assistance and participation of postgraduate students.
Yeah.
So that was, especially at the University of Pretoria, that was a big knock in the sense that we practice an innovative form of teaching and learning we call hybrid or blended teaching and learning.
Yes.
And the way it works is like this, is that before students come to class, they do some online preparation, if you like. That might include even quizzes, which are preparatory to the contact class. Then in class as well, the lecturer or the professor might use online resources. Post their class, we call it the consolidate version. So it's we call it the consolidate phase after class.
Yes.
And then you go online as well, and you might submit your assessments online. So now we are forced to do just online. That's not our preferred mode.
Mm.
Because learning is best done if it's hybrid. Not just contact only. This is the 21st century.
Yes.
Things have moved on. Digital works also. But also not 100% online.
Yeah.
Especially for undergraduate students. And remember that some of those students, when a lockdown knocked us down, they had only been 6 or 7 weeks at the university from matric. So they were denied that experience with David University, especially those who were in res as well.
Yeah.
And for many students in final year, it was quite traumatic and stressful that you might not finish the year.
Yeah.
However, the good news is that we recovered fairly well and relatively well, because our students have an experience of learning online, albeit in blended or hybrid mode.
Hmm.
When we went 100%, it was not overly strenuous, it's still difficult. And for those students who didn't have laptops or internet-connected devices, that was a challenge. We moved first to mobilize internal and external money to provide them with laptops.
And so nobody was left behind?
Yeah, exactly. Our principle was to, no student left behind. Let's save the academic year, and let's save lives as well. Mm-hmm. You couldn't possibly just say, no. Let's try and duck around this COVID thing.
Yes.
Because it was serious. Infections were rising. We were in that terrible phase. But still, those students who couldn't access, even if I gave them a laptop or whatever, is no connectivity where they live, no electricity, and the home environment is not conducive. So what we did from the beginning is we kept some students behind where they could be safe in terms of health regulations if their home environments were not good, because then they could connect easy. That included some international students.
Yeah.
But we sent my hard copy materials to the students who could not connect due to lack of connectivity. And we followed up with telephone tutoring. So raise internal money plus external money to do telephone tutoring.
Yeah.
Then as the levels went down, we were able to bring some students back open their labs under strict health regulations and so on and so forth.
Hmm. It does sound like you were very resourceful in the period, but just in terms of going forward, you know, in terms of the bigger picture, the impact that it's had, we know that the fiscus is under pressure. We know that they're going to be cutting resources from various sections, you know, education, you know, the social.
Money is already being cut.
Yes.
Also, we had to, all of this buying of computers and stuff and sometimes providing data to students. Not so much as in the of Pretoria.
Yes.
We have an IT system that allowed staff and students to go online without having to have data, except in periods when the traffic is high and also you are kicked out for some reason when you are doing assessments. Those people provided data. But all of these were unbudgeted expenses. So, which meant that, as a matter of fact, now we're using money we did not actually have or had not meant for that purpose.
Mm.
Then also, when the minister, Mboweni, made his special budget, there was a cut to the budgets of the universities or the higher education sector.
That's right.
In fact, also for all of us, the government and the universities, to have enough money for PPE, sanitizer, sanitization of spaces that were being used and so on.
Yeah.
So, yes, if you compare what we were at the beginning of the year, our budgets are not what they should be because they are being diverted to other purposes.
Yeah.
Then the cut also will have an impact.
That's right. I mean, it's going to be very tricky because obviously you need to continue with your research work. You're going to continue having more stress and pressure in terms of the number of students that want to come into the university. And then, of course, you know, what about the resources in terms of the human capital, the lecturers? Do you envisage a situation where, you know, people may have to lose their jobs simply because there aren't enough resources for them? And what impact will that have on things like your educational programs and the quality thereof?
Yeah, no, I think that at this moment, I don't think so. The problem, of course, just to finish the resource constraint issue, that students also and parents not being able to pay our fees.
Yeah.
So we can see student debt rising. However, all of these things, in a paper I did with one of my colleagues, Dr. Gerald Ouma, for the university sector, which they accepted and published at uncertain times, is that we had four scenarios there. The worst scenario was the scenario you are talking about, retrenchment. That is possible if the economy becomes a total wasteland. And that, of course, is linked to the fact that right now, after level three onwards to level one today, the economy is being opened up gradually.
Mm.
It won't recover immediately, but that will also mitigate against extreme retrenchment necessarily.
Yes.
So all of these things are tied together. But of course, they're also going to differ from university to university. What its financial status was before, what its mix of students is, what its reserves, if any, it has, and the capability of its own kind of students to be able to pay. And also, of course, the extent of government cuts. But our first instinct is not to retrench, especially academics or even others.
Yes.
Because like you rightly say, for the country to recover, it needs the human resources that universities produce.
That's right.
Did you see what happened during the COVID? Universities came to the party with COVID-related direct action, using 3D PPE materials. Some universities, like we did that quite a lot at UP.
Hmm.
We also partnered with the private sector to assist communities to deal with COVID through information management, and also producing some other forms of PPE that are not ventilators. Rhodes University produced sanitizers. They were manufacturing sanitizers.
Yes.
And giving to hospitals. So for the economy to resurrect and grow, and for us to create a new economy and a new society, as the president said, you cannot therefore, you know, underfund the universities going forward.
Mm.
Because you'll be cutting the very legs that will make you rise, lift, and run.
It's going to be a tricky one. Just in conclusion, Prof, in terms of the quality of the degrees and postgraduate courses that you've been running this year, are you confident that the quality is as good as it would have been but for COVID?
Yeah, no, I think we're doing quite, especially in the University of Pretoria, we're doing quite a lot of quality checks along the way. So, for example, people often think that, you know, if people are doing exams or assessments online, they will copy. That is possible, yes. But there is software we are using to do that. But also how you set the questions does not lend itself to like copying easily, if you like.
Yes.
Because online teaching is not just dumping stuff online. It's actually a methodology and way in which it works. I mean, of course, this is also going to differ from university to university, to be frank.
Mm.
If you go to a university where people are not used to online learning and online teaching, or even to our university where some lecturer and the students were struggling with that, that might impact also the quality.
Yes.
But I wouldn't say that, therefore, quality is wholly negative. Let me give you a very interesting example. Do you know that at UP, more students wrote exams than when we used to do them in large halls where people were sitting there?
Hmm.
We thought fewer people might say, I'm not ready, I have not had enough classes, I can't take the exam.
Yes.
And I'm going to drop my courses. That is not what happened.
That was Tawana Kupe. He's the Vice Chancellor at the University of Pretoria.